Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have ever had days that you think that it would never end? Well, I think Jesus had days like that as well. Because of our lessons in these last couple weeks have been kind of snippets of the greater text, it's easy for us maybe to miss what the author intends, what he wants to convey, and it could be such the case as today's text. The gospel ends with a phrase that's very familiar to us, so familiar that maybe we miss Matthew's intent and why Jesus said it. He who has ears, let him hear. If you've been at worship for any kind of regularity, you would have heard me say on other occasions, in every worship service, God has a word for us. To receive the word, we need to come with ears to hear. We need to come with wide open spiritual ears. Matthew chapter 11 through 13 has an overarching theme. That is, Jesus is the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Promised One, the Christ, the Savior, the long-awaited King. And that's why the text from Isaiah is chosen under such a theme. When we read the three chapters, we realize that Satan's temptation of Jesus in the wilderness was something that he faced every day of his ministry. And our second lesson from Romans reminds us that we also constantly are in danger of being distracted from our call as being children of God. Paul writes that God's Spirit communicates with our spirit, but our spiritual ears need to be open for the Spirit's guiding. In the wilderness, Satan tempted Jesus to prove who he was, and each time Jesus uses the scripture to shut him down. In chapter 11, the disciples of John asked Jesus, "Are you the Messiah, or should we look for someone else?" John's sitting in prison, depressed, because he thought Jesus would show God's vengeance and free and liberate God's people. But Jesus responds by quoting the prophet Isaiah, "The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the peace of God is preached." Question: is Jesus the Messiah that you expect him to be? Have we come to believe that the kingdom of God is something that we will experience when we die in heaven? Or is Jesus Lord of our life, his kingdom here and now is experienced as we open ourselves to be led by his Spirit? Later, Jesus encounters the Pharisees who accuse his disciples of breaking the Sabbath. And then Jesus reminds them that the Sabbath was created for man and not man for the Sabbath. Then Jesus goes into the synagogue. He heals a crippled man before doing so, and he further enrages the Pharisees, and they begin to plot his death. For Jesus, the Sabbath was to rest, to be empowered, to show mercy, and to live as God's sons and daughters. Matthew, the gospel writer, urges his readers to see worship more than an empty ritual. It is expecting God's reign in our life, and that should mean everything. Question: do we see worship only as a ritual, something that we need to do on Saturday or Sunday? Or is it a means to receive God's grace? Grace that surrounds us with his love, empowering us to forgive because we are forgiven, empowering us to love more deeply because we receive God's love, empowered to serve more freely because we meet Jesus and the people that we serve, empowered to give more generously because we follow the greatest gift giver. As Jesus continues to heal, the people begin then to ask, could he be the Messiah? And the Pharisees quickly tell the people, Jesus heals not in the power of God. but in the power of the prince of demons. And Jesus responds again with scripture, that a tree is known by its fruits. A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And then we're challenged to consider, what kind of fruit are we producing in our life? The Pharisees had hoped to trap Jesus by saying, "Teacher, we want to see some miraculous signs from you." Now, we don't know what they wanted for signs, probably no sign at all, because they had dismissed his healings. Jesus could have told them what he told Satan in the wilderness, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." But instead, he tells them of a sign that perhaps they would know and understand later. Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the big fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Question: are we still looking for a sign? Or do we accept the sign of Jesus' death and resurrection as the only sign we need? Do we really trust Jesus' victory over death is ours? And if we do, then we should so live in this life in such a way that we are confident of God's final word to us, which is always life. And it begins now, and it lasts for eternity. Jesus begins to teach in parables, and last week we had the sower, which challenged us to consider, what type of soil are we? You know, every time we sing that good soil song, it should be a prayer, really, for us. Because who knows, while you were getting ready for worship, what has taken place? Who knows when you were out in the parking lot what had taken place that could distract you and get you in such a mood that you may not be so receptive to what's going on inside this building? Are we open to the seed of God's word, or do we let other things get in the way? Our spiritual ears, are they open? Open to receive his guidance by his Spirit, living daily. Today's parable is kind of a grace note to last week's sower parable. It asks the question, why does God allow evil to live alongside good? In Jesus' day, as well as our own, it's so easy to adopt a them and us attitude. There's the believers and non-believers, Christian, Muslim, straight, gay, Lutherans, and those other guys, saints, sinners, the good, the bad. And often we want to be the one to decide which is which. But Jesus says no. It is not our place to judge. What we judge as weeds might be grain in God's sight, and in God's great garden, miraculous things can happen. Weeds can become grain. We have a teaching in the Lutheran Church. Martin Luther taught that we are both saints and sinners. We're sinners in the sense that we are in this nature, this human nature of ours. That's never going to change. What changes is God's word penetrating this life, knowing we are children of God and we are his forgiven children. Isn't God's judgment more clear-eyed than our own? Instead of us passing judgment, let us praise God for his great mercy, his great love for us. And may our spiritual ears be open to hear the word that God has for us. Amen.